It's a great personal pleasure to welcome Dr. Ellen Kadish to the yeshiva. As you know, he is the president, the CEO of Touro College University Systems. It's a pleasure in a twofold sense. Number one, to be able to, as always, hear such an informative shiur, but also as an opportunity to be able to express personally on behalf of the yeshiva our profound hakara satov. Everything that goes on the yeshiva is under his broader watch and broader guide, and the support that I receive personally and that filters through the yeshiva is something that is quite remarkable. And the fact that he comes and gives a shiur, whether it's on Metzitza Bepeh, whether it's on Dinei Shvius, or today's theme of Kiddush Hashem, that itself is a form of a Kiddush Hashem, to be able to have such a university system where Torah in the yeshiva is considered to be the hallmark of its mission statement. So Dr. Kadish, on behalf of the entire yeshiva, we thank you for joining us. We thank you for everything that you do for the yeshiva, and we look forward to your shiur on the theme of Kiddush Hashem.
So Gemar Chasima Tova to everyone. It's great to be here, and as I've mentioned before here, and some of you may have heard before, one of the really exciting things about what I do is being able to help support a Makom Torah like this, come visit and deal with the Rabbeim and the students, even though I don't get a chance to do that much of it because we've got 35 schools and 18,000 students. When I do have a chance to be here, particularly in Asher Shemei Tshuva, or around the time of Rosh Hashanah, it's a real pleasure. In the 1980s, when Japanese industry was ascendant, one of the strategies that it utilized to outperform other countries in business practices was something called Tinzen, which was essentially a form of continuous quality improvement where input was received from employees about how things could be done better, recycled back to management, and processes were improved based on the input and data that was coordinated. Japanese industry fell on tougher times, but not related to failure of that concept, because that concept actually was promulgated to the rest of the world and now has gone beyond business into medicine, healthcare, and education, where continuous quality improvement is considered a hallmark of well-run institutions. But of course, the idea of quality improvement based on taking stock of where you are and what you can do better is at least a couple of millennia old, and it's this theme of Chodesh Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuva, and Yom Kippur. That is, we look back in Slichas at what we've done in the past year, Ashavnu, Bagadnu. We take stock of where we are, and we look at ways that we can improve ourselves for the coming year. In looking back at the last year, without going into details, I thought that discussing the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem would be an appropriate thing to do this Aseret Yemei Teshuva, with the idea that perhaps not all of us has always done the best job in Kiddush Hashem in the past year, and perhaps this is something that we might think about doing better in the coming year. So with that brief introduction, I thought I'd take a little bit of an unusual approach to Kiddush Hashem, I think, which is actually to talk about the details of the mitzvah, some of which, when I started going through them, were a bit surprising. So first of all, what's the mitzvah based on? The pasuk "V'lo zechalu Hashem kodshi v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael ani Hashem mekadoshchem." Pretty much, everyone who counts the mitzvos derives two mitzvos: a lo saseh and a mitzvah saseh from this pasuk. The lo saseh, lo zechalel Hashem kodshi. And the Ase v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. So one of the first questions I want to begin with is, why are there two mitzvahs? And if we look at reference 3 in the Chinuch, When he looks at Velos Chalu Hashem Kachi, which is the Los Ase, which comes first, he says, Sheninu Michilo Hashem, Vu Hefach Kiddush Hashem. Right off the bat, he says that the Los Ase is the opposite of the Ase. So one of the first questions I want to ask is, so why do we have both? Why in this case is there an Ase and a Los Ase? So one possibility is that, as in many places in the Torah, when there's an Ase and a Los Ase on the same topic, a Lav Shnita Glase, there's a toelus, there's a purpose in having the Los Ase and the Ase. The Ase can correct the deficiencies of the Los Ase. So one might think that that might be the case here. And as it turns out, it's not. So the importance of this mitzvah and the fact that it's not considered a Lav Shnita Glase is outlined in Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, reference 2. I must have been in a brisker mood when I put the source sheet together, because in fact the Rambam quotes almost directly from a Gemara. And the Gemara is a Gemara in Yuma, which is reference 14. But for ease of reading, and because we're going to spend some time on the Rambam, we'll look at it in the Rambam. And I'm only going to read a little bit today, but this one I think is profound and important to understand the importance of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So the question is, we're in Aseres Yemei Tshuva. What can we do to obtain kapara for whatever we failed in the past year? And the Rambam begins to say, Afal pisha tshuva mechaperes al hakol, v'itzumo shel Yom Kippur mechaper, yesh aveira she'em mischaprim l'sha'asan, v'yesh aveira she'em mischaprim ela lachar zman. Even though Yom Kippur and tshuva mechaper, there's a time-dependent aspect. So what does the Rambam bring down based on the Gemara? So if you have a mitzvah saseh, the lashon is eino zaz misham achim mechaper moso. If you have an aseh, if you're over an aseh, you're forgiven immediately as soon as you do tshuva. What exactly is involved in tshuva, separate talk, but the idea is if in fact you do tshuva, you're forgiven, you get kapara from the aseh immediately. If you have a regular los aseh, which would normally be a chiyuv malchus, so what's the halacha? The halacha is tshuva tole yom kippur mechaper. That's a case where tshuva creates the right environment for kapara. The Rambam addressing the question of if you have tshuva, what does Yom Kippur do? So the Rambam says here, tshuva is tole, creates the right environment, conditional kapara, but Yom Kippur, itzumo shel yom, is mechaper. If you have a lo sase, which has a chiyuv of kares or malchus, the halacha is tshuva and Yom Kippur tole. So you still need tshuva, you still need Yom Kippur, but yisurim mechaper. Unfortunately, we suffer in this world, whatever yisurim are defined at. Some people define yisurim in a relatively small way. In other cases, yisurim may be larger, but regardless, tshuva and Yom Kippur are not enough to be mechaper on a los aseh where the punishment is kares or misa. What about chil Hashem? And to be fair, it may not refer to all chil Hashem. Rashi in the Gemara in Yuma says, chote umachti es acherim. And we'll discuss where chote umachti es acherim may fall into chil Hashem. But what about chil Hashem? Because chote umachti es acherim may have a very broad context. So what's the halacha? Tshuva, Yom Kippur, and Yisurim are tole, and only misa is mechaper. There's no way, once you're guilty of chil Hashem, there's no way, and we'll see later, you can do tshuva, you can improve things, but there is no way to erase chil Hashem from the scorecard, so to speak, ba'olam hazeh. It's only misa's mechaper. So on a simplistic level, you could argue that one reason that there's a los aseh and an aseh is to let everyone know the chashivas of this. And again, I'm not in the business of scoring the chashivas of mitzvos. But if you look at the Gemara, one way you can determine how much emphasis should be placed on a mitzvah is what it takes to recover from it. And in this case, what the Gemara is telling you is Misa Mechaper, and that's it. So before we look at other potential reasons for the Los Ase and the Ase, I think they'll come out of what we're going to learn. The Rambam discusses Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem in Sefer HaMitzvos, and then again in Hilchos Yisodei Torah Perek Hei. And the Rambam describes four separate categories of Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem, one of which is novel. When I say it's novel, in the sense that I haven't seen it in prior sources, and it does not appear in Sefer HaMitzvos, either in the Aseh or the Los Aseh. So what are those four aspects? So one, which seems to be the aspect of Chil Hashem and Kiddush Hashem that's mentioned first almost everywhere, and that's what appears in the Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeya, and that's what appears three times in the Gemara, in Avodah Zarah and elsewhere, is the idea, which you're all familiar with, of dying on Kiddush Hashem. So if you're asked to transgress one of the three cardinal sins, so to speak, Gilei Erev, Shfichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah, in a public way, or perhaps in most circumstances, even in a private way, the halacha is you should allow yourself to be killed rather than be over on one of these averos. Why these three? Again, a separate topic and a separate talk, but that's halacha. And v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, the way everyone agrees one fulfills this mitzvah is by sacrificing one's life for Kiddush Hashem, by saying, my beliefs tell me, despite v'chai b'hem, despite the general precept that we're supposed to live with the mitzvahs and not die for them, in this particular case, because of the possibility of Kedushas Hashem and Chil Hashem, one is supposed to die. According to some poskim, there are other circumstances when Befer Heshia, you're asked to do another Avera, specifically to show that you're rejecting Judaism. There are those who believe that in other cases, you should sacrifice yourself as well. But I don't want to get into that today. The basic of the mitzvah of V'nikdashti B'sof B'nei Yisrael is to die for Kiddush Hashem. And the Los Aseh, of course, is the reverse. So what's the punishment if you're over the Los Aseh? Suppose you're faced with a circumstance. You're put up there by a Muslim terrorist and said, I want you to worship idols or I'm going to kill you. And you know what? You do it. What's the punishment? You putter?
Yeah.
Why? I'm sorry? So you're not putter in this particular case, but you're absolutely right. You don't get Malkus, you don't get Misas Pastin, because it's an onus. Absolutely right. But that's the first aspect of Kiddush Hashem. Nechil Hashem. The second aspect is if you publicly create an event that's designed to desecrate Hashem and desecrate the mitzvos. What's an example? The famous banquet in the 1880s where a number of rabbis served pork and shellfish intentionally to show that they were rejecting halacha. That, in my mind, would be an example of a public display of Chil Hashem, b'mezid. In that case, you would get malchus, designed to show that you're rejecting the Torah mitzvahs. So that's a second category of Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem that the Rambam refers to. The third one is fascinating. And the third one is in reference 7, the third line. And I want to spend a few minutes talking about this. If you do a mitzvah or you avoid an avera not because of kavod, not because of yira, but simply because a belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this is something you should do, you're harezem HaKadosh Hashem. There are two, I skipped intentionally one part. The Rambam gives an example of what he means. Kiminiyas Yosef HaTzadik Atzmo Me'eshes Rabo. Like Yosef preventing himself from committing adultery with Eshes Potiphar. So I want to focus on one unusual aspect of this chiddush of the Rambam. It is a chiddush because, as I said, it doesn't appear in prior sources. Where's the Rambam learn it from? Potentially a Gemara in Kedushin, where the Gemara in Kedushin says that if your averos and your mitzvos are shkulim, and this is a reference later, we won't read it, that if you're in a situation where you have the ability to commit a chait and you avoid yourself, then that tips the balance, and the Rambam interprets that as saying, because therefore you fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem in that circumstance. So there are two things that I want to focus on here. The first is, it appears that Kiddush Hashem does not necessarily need to be a public event. Right? The Medrash tells us that Yosef's resistance to committing adultery was not because he was afraid he was going to be caught. Ve'ein ish me'an she'abayas sham. Nobody was there. Eshes Potiphar had engineered this to be in a situation where there would be complete freedom of action without the fear of retribution. And as a consequence, therefore, no one would know. Maybe Eshes Potiphar, maybe not. But no one would know. And the Mepharshim say, therefore, that this is clearly, the Rambam gives this example to make it clear that Kiddush Hashem in this case can happen b'tzina. It's an amazing Kiddush because we don't normally think of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem as happening b'tzina. And of course, the positive aspect of this is that there are an enormous number of circumstances in which we can fulfill the mitzvah of being Mekadesh Shem Shamayim in our everyday lives. It doesn't have to be a big public display. Maybe if you're only with one other person and you avoid doing something you shouldn't do, you can fulfill the mitzvah of being Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. And as the Gemara says, if you're in a situation where things are close, that can be the deciding factor in the Gzar Din. But there's another issue that's raised here. Does the case of Menias Yosef HaTzadik appear to be a case where Yosef did it lo pachad v'lo yira v'lo levakesh kavod? So, if we didn't have the Medrash in the Gemara, we might say yes. But there's a problem. And the problem is based on the Gemara. And the Gemara, I'm just trying to find the reference, which I hope was included in this version of the source sheet. The Gemara is in reference 9. And it's in the boxed area. And if we look at the third line, of what lasos malachto means. There's a machlokus about whether Yosef intentionally, initially, had the idea of committing adultery. Also, Ayom Hayom Chagam Haya. It was a day of Avodah Zara Chag. V'hochu kulun beis Avodas Kachavim Shalahem. V'hi Amra Lahen Chola Hi Amra. Ein li Yom Shniskach li Yosef Ke Yom Azeh. This was the day she saw the opportunity. But so this is now the key part in trying to understand what Yosef went through and how Yosef was Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. The image of his father, the image of Yaakov, came to Yosef. This is what Rashi brings down. Rashi stops at Bachalom. Right? So Rashi doesn't elaborate on how the image of Yaakov Avinu stopped Yosef from a chet. But the Gemara continues. Amar lo, Yaakov said to him, Yosef, Atidin achicha sheichtuvu alav ne'efod v'ata b'nehem. The names of the Shvatim are supposed to be written on the Choshen. And you're supposed to be there. Ritzoncha sheimocha shimcha me'b'nehem. Do you want your name to be erased? So what's the difficulty in understanding the Rambam based on this Gemara? And the Rambam obviously was basing his memra on the Gemara. It very much appears that Yosef was worried. He was afraid. Right? Lomit ne yira, lomit ne kavod. How could you have a yira and kavod greater than the eternal erasure, the eternal inclusion on the Avnei Choshen? So how do we understand the Rambam based on the Gemara? Yes? So his absence from the Choshen would be a Chilul Hashem. Fair enough, but the question is, what was motivating Yosef at this point? It doesn't seem to have been altruistic. Right, you're right, perhaps it would have been a Chilul Hashem. In fact, it certainly would have been a Chilul Hashem. I think that's what the Gemara means. But the question is, what was motivating Yosef? How can the Rambam say, Lo mitnei yira, lo mitnei kavod? Yes?
You're
hinting at one of the answers they're given. They're really sort of, I think, two answers that are given to this. One is, I think what you're alluding to is that Yira and Kavod here doesn't refer to legacy or spiritual outcome. It refers to immediate danger, something that will happen immediately. It's not talking about a spiritual idea. It's about the idea that I'm going to do a mitzvah because I want people to say I'm a good guy. Or I'll do a mitzvah because I'm afraid I'm not going to get an aliyah next week if I do something wrong. That's one answer that's given. That's kind of the kind of yira and kavod that we're talking about. And so, but if the yira and kavod is because you believe in Hashem and Tzchar V'Onesh, that's not an exclusion for being fulfilling the mitzvah of being Mekadesh Shem Shamayim according to this third aspect of the Rambam. So another answer given is, I think in some ways a more satisfying answer is, the Gemara is not to be interpreted as, this is I think by the Yedid Melech, the Gemara is not meant to be interpreted as that Yosef actually saw his father and that his father talked to him through some supernatural means. Remember, his father was still alive in Eretz Yisrael at the time. But rather, that this was a way of anthropomorphizing Yosef's consciousness and conscience. And what he was saying is, I know what my father taught me. If my father were here, this is what he would have said. But it wasn't that there was actual a threat made by his father removing Yosef from the Choshen. So this is just a way of the Gemara giving us a way that we're in a tempting situation of making believe that, just like the police now, there's a video camera looking at everything we do. The truth is, this is one of the ways in which this analogy of the idea that Hashem watches everything we do has become easier for us to contextualize. Because the reality is, almost anything one does these days can be recorded somehow, and you never know when. So this idea, which used to be theoretical, that Hashem is watching everything we do, anything anyone does can show up on YouTube, and not always with good consequences. The fourth aspect, so one thing I want to point out about this third aspect is that there is no, even though the Chinuch says that the mitzvos are opposites, the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah does not mention Chil HaShem in this description of this particular aspect of Kiddush and Chil HaShem. In other words, you're not over on Chil HaShem if you commit an Avera or you don't perform a mitzvah. This is a case where the mitzvahs Aseh of being Mekadesh Shem Shemayim is uncoupled from the Isur of Velos Chalel Shem Kodshim. So one potential explanation for why there's a positive commandment of Kiddush Hashem, because there are aspects of that positive commandment that don't appear in the Los Asay. Conversely, if we look at the fourth manifestation of what the Rambam talks about, as part of being part of the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and the Los Asay of Chil Hashem, and that is find the reference. Just give me a moment here. Reference 13. And this is based on Gemara in Yuma, reference 14. And I'll read the Rambam, but I'll describe how it's based on the Gemara. V'yesh dvarim acherim sheim b'chlal chil Hashem. This is the last halacha, one of the last halachas is part of in Parakeh. If there is someone who's an Adam Gadol B'Torah U'Mufursim B'Chasidus who does something that people will criticize, even though they're not an Avera, he's Mechal Hashem Shamayim. If he purchases something and doesn't pay right away, and the Rambam's interpretation of the Gemara, which is not necessarily the only way to interpret the Gemara, is that it's a case where he has the money and the people who sold him, in this case the meat, have asked for it and he declines. Or and there are other ways that this Adam Gadol B'Torah U'Mufursim B'Chasidus can be Mechal Shem Shamayim. Now, interestingly, the Gemara, in describing this aspect of Chil Hashem, the Gemara does not say anything about Adam Gadol B'Torah U'Mufursim B'Chasidus. The Rambam learns that this aspect of the mitzvah refers only to a specific kind of person, someone who's a leader of the Jewish people in some ways, from the Gemara, which says Ana. Rav describes the first case that the Gemara says. This is the Gemara in Yuma again. The second part of the Gemara in Yuma, it's the third wide line in reference 14. So if I buy meat from a butcher and I don't pay right away, that's an example of Chil Hashem. And the categorization of Adam Gadol B'Torah U'Mufursim B'Chasidus is based on the Gemara's use of the word Ana, and these are the characteristics he attributes to Rav. I'm not sure how in the current day we should interpret this categorization. I will say, however, the following. In the information age, all of us, every one of us in this room, is a representative of Hashem and a representative of Yiddishkeit. And society no longer has the idea that we expect great behavior only from great people. That's a Torah ideal that comes back for many years, and I'm not suggesting that we should abandon that ideal. But what I am suggesting is, based on the influence we will have and the idea of Chotei Umachtei Es Acherim, there may be more people than just people on the level of Amoraim whom this mitzvah should apply to today. So I don't want to end on entirely a negative note. And by the way, this last fourth aspect is a case where there's a lo sase, right, where you avoid Chil Hashem and not an obvious mitzvah sase for not doing that. So another reason that the lo sase and the mitzvah sase may have separate aspects to them. So in addition to the idea that this is a crucial mitzvah, and that's maybe why there's a lo sase and an ase, there are, particularly in the third and fourth descriptions of the Rambam, manifestations of Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem, distinctions between the mitzvah sase and the mitzvah lo sase. So I said I didn't want to end on an entirely negative note. The fact that the Gemara says that short of Misa, there's no way to completely be rid of Chil Hashem, doesn't mean that there aren't things that we can do to help address it. So if we look at reference 16, Rabbeinu Yonah, Shari Tshuva, and we'll look just at Ches, at Hey, I'm sorry. Even though there's no way that you can completely remove it based on other sins, but you can get there by Mekadesh Torah, and to let others know the greatness of Hashem and the honor of His kingship. And if you reverse what you did, you can help alleviate the problem of Chil Hashem. And in a recent article in Jewish Action, which is a magazine published by the OU, this area is discussed. And if you look at the last paragraph, we'll close with this. In contradistinction to chapter 1, where Tshuva's power of atonement is quite limited, chapter 7 describes Tshuva as completely transformative and purifying, fully restoring a relationship of love with Hashem, allowing a Baal Tshuva to find favor in the grace of God's eyes once again. Apparently, the need for kapara in chapter 1 is connected to a spiritual debt, a liability that is owed for a sin, a punishment that must be expiated, a burden that is not erased until death, and one that the Baal Tshuva must always carry in his heart. But the existence of the debt liability is not relevant to the purity of the penitent soul and his reacceptance in the community of God and Israel, provided he complies with the requirements of the Tshuva process. So, what Rabbi Breidowitz is saying in response in an article that was entitled When Leaders Fail, is that even though you can never completely erase the idea of Chil Hashem, which is why we must be extraordinarily careful about what we do and what we don't do, it doesn't mean that one should give up. There are ways to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and even though it's not a Lav Shani Teklase, even though we can't completely eliminate the Chil Hashem as you would with a Lav Shani Teklase, there are still ways we can all make progress. So in closing, as I mentioned, Tichle Shana V'Kilul Oseha, in many ways, it's been a year when some of Kol Yisrael have not always been Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in the best way possible. Too many newspaper articles about things that have been Chil Hashem. But I'm hoping that with the increased awareness of what's gone on in our community, and with the tshuva that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur will bring, that next year we'll find that quality improvement has happened in a major way in Kiddush Hashem and Chil Hashem. And we continue to be zocha to a good year and a year of great learning at Lander College for Men.